You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on Cyclesman.com. Welcome back to the show, Tim.
Jim, thanks as always for having me.
Tim, U.S. inflation is running at a three-year high. Is there something behind this more than just high fuel prices from the Gulf War or from the war with Iran? I guess it is a Gulf Strait war.
Yeah, and that, you know, that question is more profound than you may realize, or maybe not. I don't know, but that question is spot on. Yes, there is something more to it. In fact, let me digress for a minute. You know, I have said, you know, since this war began that it was used financially as a reinflation tool. And like Richard Russell used to say, you know, inflate or die, you know, referring to the market. We have to inflate or the system dies. And I have proven that looking back. I took this is something I've covered in great detail in the research letters. But I took the federal debt and wrote some formulas and some rates of change formulas and prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that, you know, you look back at historical market junctures and you know, going back, for example, all the way back to the 66 bull market top, which nobody remembers anymore. But, I mean, I don't, I was a kid, but looking back to that time as the market was turning down into that 74 low, there were a lot of things that happened there to help reinflate and create inflation. And, you know, looking at inflation itself, studying history and looking at the inflation, you know, the inflation didn't really kick up until we got into that 66 top, into the mid and late 60s and into the 70s. The inflation was murder on the people back then. I remember my parents talking about it. I've watched some historical documentaries on it recently. And that all ties into, you know, there's a number of things that happened there. You know, Nixon, I think it was August the 15th of 1971. I don't know if I can remember the date. I think I got it right. You know, he removed us off of the remaining portion of the gold standard for, you know, trade between countries. And then that wasn't enough. That was a long-term, I think, move to try to generate inflation. They need inflation. The market had peaked with that 66 top. And then, you know, I'll just blurt it out. I'll say it. I think, and you know, there were songs about it. I remember hearing it in a song. Can't remember who did the song. I don't believe that there was really the line, and I'm paraphrasing, that something like, I don't believe in, you know, that there was really a gas shortage. It was some country song I heard one time and it stuck in my head. But I think that was also generated to create inflation. And so you go back in time, and every time the market gets into a little bit of a soft spot or even a tough spot, you can see the acceleration of debt, the acceleration of spending when you look at this rate of change data, when extracting that from what otherwise looks like a parabola. And so, you know, that said, we saw that a time or two in the 80s, and they'll kind of let off, and then when they do, you know, like they had let off of the gas on that, you could see the rate of change was coming way down. And then we got the 87 top. And then, of course, that was a real bull market with the tech, you know, getting into the technology era. But then, you know, after that peak in 2000 with the dot-com bubble, they really stepped on the gas. And then, you know, fueled us up into the 07 top. And then coming out of the 09 low, you can see they really stepped on the gas again, you know, even more. And so this, you have this, not only do you have this parabola with the debt curve, but you have this stair step, it's higher and higher. Each time it's taken more and more and more and more, debt spending, inflation generation, however you want to look at it, to pull the market, you know, or to save the market and pull it out of those, you know, that weak spot. And so, you know, the last occurrence we saw this, well, let me back up. you know, look at COVID. Look what the result was. You know, let's go back to actually to the coming out of the 09 low or coming out of the 2002 low. You know, that was the most extended 4-year cycle in history. They fueled it up into that 2007 top, and look what happened. It resulted in what they dubbed the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. And then, you know, we turned down into that 09 low, and they, like I said, they stepped on the gas again and fueled us up into the COVID top. And then look at the COVID top. You know, there was like a $6 trillion, I think Trump had like a $6 trillion relief package. I don't remember what it's called, COVID relief package. There was a couple of them that totaled that. It's like 6-point-something trillion dollars. So each time it's taken more and more and more. And you see this when you compare those acceleration points to the market. So yes, it's revealing, and there is more to this. And I've said from the beginning, since the war broke out, that this was about reinflating. And there's also another element to it. And I wrote about this in a recent research letter, that I think some of the spending, well, I know that some of the spending, because I got the quotes, but some of the spending with the AI data centers is the same thing. They're trying to generate an economic boom, you know, stimulus, because the essence of it is, Jim, that just like Richard Russell said, and I don't know if he understood, you know, I don't think he hadn't done the study that, you know, I'm referring to, because that's my own work, but I don't know if he understood just how profound that statement was, inflate or die. And so that's what they're doing. That's what we're seeing. And, you know, to look back again, I want to draw people's attention to, you know, what was the result? You know, they haven't solved anything. Look at the 07 top, and once it cracked, worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. And they've been fighting it, in effect, really hard since the 2000 top with the peaking of the dot-com era. But anyway, I'm rambling now at this point, but I think you get the picture. But yeah, there's more to the story.
Mm. So is this a matter of policy, or did they just chance into it with the war with Iran?
I think it's a matter of policy. I think everything, I believe personally, when you look at history and you look at these points, you look at all these inflection points and you connect all the dots, I don't believe anything is by accident. Absolutely not. So, I mean, I also believe when you look at history, everything's multifaceted. I mean, you can point to many aspects of COVID, for example, you know, but from a financial perspective, it was clearly used as a tool to reinflate. Or from the war perspective, obviously there's other, you know, I guess reasons or benefits or whatever, however you want to describe it, you know, with whatever the hell there is they're doing over there. But from a financial perspective, it is being used as a reinflation tool. There's no question about it.
So in other words, the war with Iran knowingly was going to cause economic hardships for some people and cause a lot of inflation, which means somebody is making a lot of money on it. The gas companies, for example, it takes 90 days for fuel to get from the oil pumps out in the desert to your gas tank, yet the price hike was instantaneous as soon as the first bomb fell in Iran, and now our oil prices are back to what they were before the war started, but look at what you're paying for gasoline still.
Right. It always works that way. Every time, absolutely. But the point was, yes, you know, the oil companies, I saw something, it's been, you know, I don't have anything in front of me I can quote, but it's been several weeks ago, a month or so ago, that they were saying that, you know, the oil companies were reporting record profits. So, yes, obviously they're making out like bandits. But the point is, as far as the economy, and I know this doesn't make sense because it's a double-edged sword. Because on the one hand, yes, you're right, it's killing the consumer. I mean, how much more inflation, it's fascinating to me to watch. I mean, how much more inflation can we all take? You know, you look at the cost of absolutely everything. It's just insane. I don't have to give examples. Everybody sees it. But at the same time, that inflation, that spending, they're forcing that spending into the system, and it takes that. it's like a crack addict or whatever, any kind of drug addict or alcoholic or whatever, or someone who smokes, you know. You start out and you smoke a couple of cigarettes a day, and then you become a three-pack-a-day smoker at the end. It's the same thing. It takes more and more and more and more and more to sustain this thing, and they have to have the inflation. And you know, they don't care that it's killing the consumer. I mean, that's just, we're just casualties, if you will. But the system has to have that inflation. And again, I go back to what Richard Russell said, inflate or die. And what's at risk here, tying this together with this long-term, these long-term economic cycles that I've talked about, what's at risk here, Jim? The reason that you know, we're seeing such extreme measures to hold this thing up and have for the last 20 years is that it's the system itself that is at risk. I mean, this is bigger than people realize. But because it's gone on so long and people don't understand and see the big picture of what's happening, you know, it's not on anybody's radar screen, or at least it's not on, you know, 99% of the people's radar screen what we're looking at. But this fighting this and keeping the system going, you know, like I said, it's because the system itself is at risk.
We'll have more with Tim Sekulesman Wood right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Sekulesman Wood. Tim, now that you see a inflate or die market, what is going to happen with the stock market now?
Well, let me say this. Eventually, and I have some models that I'm following. I have a model that you know, there's a checklist of things that have to set up. And, you know, going back, looking at all these previous long-term and economic cycles, we've talked about those. There's a list of things that need to happen to check the boxes. And there's a couple of forces at play. On the one hand, you have the natural forces of the market. They're trying to, you know, it's trying to do its thing. It's trying to roll over. It's needing the stimulus. And on the other side of the equation, they're giving it the stimulus. So it's being sustained, and you have these two opposing forces. It's like a tug of war, I guess. And so eventually, it's going to just, you know, they're not going to be able to save it, you know, and there's not going to be enough morphine to keep it alive, if you will. It's just going to happen. And so, you know, looking at it here, you know, I think, you know, we saw the first attempted downturn out of this long-term economic cycle, which was completely, we've talked about this, but it's been a while, which was completely fabricated based on economic policy. You know, coming out of the 02 low, you know, there was no underlying economic what. There was a war on terrorism. There was, you know, the dot-com era was over. There was nothing new. It wasn't an industrial revolution. It was economically void for the most part. And so it was saved on, when you look at this data, you can see that it was saved on economic policy, and you know, that's what we've been it's been living on for the last, you know, since the 02 low. Well, I lost my train of thought. So what I was going to say is that the first attempted downturn out of this cycle was in 07 08 09, and that was dubbed again the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. That one was pretty severe, and you know, a lot of people may not remember that. But then the second attempted downturn was COVID, and COVID from a financial perspective was kind of the cover, and then the stimulus that come out of that. And now we're facing the third attempted downturn, and so I'm watching this model, and you know, it's slowly but surely it's setting up, but then it's being extended because of, you know, the effort to try to prevent this thing. And like I said, if you or I were sitting in their chairs trying to keep this from happening, we'd probably do the same thing. So, but anyway, so that's the dilemma. And when's it going to happen? When all the boxes are checked. And that's something that I'm watching, I'm writing about in the research letter. So I'll see it when I see it. Is it happening? Yes. Is it likely to happen? I don't know how to put it in terms. Let's say with the current cycles that we're tops that we're moving into. Yes, I mean it's like we're in the minefield. But I got to see the boxes checked. And as we sit right now, something I made a just looked at a few things this morning, and I wanted to bring to your attention. I mean, we're seeing some cracks. You know, we're not seeing major cracks, but we're quietly seeing some cracks here with this setup. You know, for example, Microsoft has moved below a cycle low back in March. So that tells me that Microsoft is quietly turning, it appears. And Apple, we've got an intermediate term top, and that gives us a structural footing for a higher degree top. Nvidia, same thing. It's moved below some cycle lows recently, and what should be an intermediate term top there as well, which again gives us a structural footing. So it's a crack. You know, is that mended? Is it somehow? You know, I don't know. But it's, right now, it's a crack, and I see the same thing with some of the other high flying stocks. You know, look at an Oracle is another one, and Bitcoin. Bitcoin broke below the February low, and I think we have. It looks like we have a long-term top there at this point with the continued weakness. It looks like we have a four-year cycle top. And so it's happening quietly behind the scene. Whether it can, you know, they can rejuvenate it here with some other form of stimulus, I don't know. But it's dangerous. It's dangerous.
What do you think is going to happen with the Dow?
Once this cracks, once the setup's in place and it cracks, Jim, I don't want to be overly bearish and somebody say, oh, well, you're just a perma-bear, you know? It's reality. Once it cracks, it's anybody's guess. I mean, it cracks. It's a parabola. It's a bubble. And here's my answer. Show me one bubble in history. One. Anybody who's got any market, historical knowledge at all, show me one bubble ever that has not busted and returned to the origin of the bubble. Show me one. There's none. There's none. The higher you throw the ball, okay, the longer it takes for it to come down, but damn it, it comes down. And so I think that once it cracks, I mean, it's. I believe that this is the because of the extent of the stimulus and the effort that has gone into trying to hold it, which again is because of the risk, right? And so that's why we've seen what we've seen. But because of that, just like 2007, that was the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. I think this one is going to be the worst financial crisis ever because I think it's the biggest financial bubble ever that has been fueled by the most manipulative stimulus ever. And so I don't know how bearish to be, but I think it's going to be nasty.
What's happening with gold?
Gold has, I think, I've slowly watched it and reported on it in the letters. But, you know, step by step, the boxes are being checked there, and I'm going out on a limb just a little bit here, but I think that we've seen the 9-year cycle top in gold. I have said that I believe, this environment that we're going into, like I said, inflate or die. So if it's no longer inflating, then it's deflating. And I have said that, gold has been up because the inflationary efforts have been successful. Well, if gold is turning down, then the inflationary efforts are failing. And so I think that gold will go down with equities in this setup. I think gold is warning here. I think we've seen the 9-year top in gold. Do I think gold is going to get hammered as bad as equities? No. I think gold is going to hold up better than equities, but I still think there's going to be some pain because it's turning to deflation. And I think that's what gold is telling us. And that sounds crazy to say, I admit it. It's the deflation that they've been fighting. If they lose control of it, then it turns to deflation. And I think that's what gold is trying to tell us here as part of that setup.
What's going to happen with interest rates?
Well, let me talk about the dollar first.
Okay.
Let me talk about the dollar first and then come to that. One other thing I've been saying that sounded absolutely crazy, and I'll see if I can find it in the letter right here. I want to read something to you. If I can find it real quick, let me just read something to you. And I've been putting this in the letter for a long time, a redundant statement, a long, long, long time. Let me see if I can find it. Here we go. I have put this in here in the long-term section of the dollar for as long as I can remember, because as we're looking for this, there's a four-year cycle low due in the dollar, which I think is in place. And I have said that in spite of the common view toward the collapse of the dollar, it is with the now due four-year cycle low that the dollar should continue higher in conjunction with the deflationary setup with the checkmate chart, because it will be such a deflationary environment that will prompt the increased demand for dollars an increased demand for the short supply of dollars. I have been writing that for just that standard statement at the end of the at one of the sections of my dollar thing, just left it in there, and now we're seeing the dollar turn up out of that four-year cycle low. So as crazy as that sounded, here we are. It's happening. And with interest rates, well, by the way, let me back up to the dollar. I think that, again, just as gold is going down, the dollar is going down, I think that's also signaling that deflation, obviously, is what I'm trying to say. And then back to interest rates, you know, the rate cutting cycle has begun. There's no doubt about that. We haven't seen a cut since December. And we've seen a little uptick in rates. That's because we've been moving into some long-term cycle lows in the long bond. When those lows are in place, and we're trying to make those lows now, may have those lows now. If not, you know, it could be another push down, but we're getting in the ballpark. What I foresee is, and I've made some forecasts based on math. It's not an opinion. It's solid analysis. Ultimately, I think that interest rates are going to go back towards zero, and I'm talking on the short end. But we have to get this cycle low in bonds in place, and so that's what I'm looking at now with bonds. That's the key. And then once that happens, then rates will, you know, they'll continue trending lower with this overall setup as equities come down. And we probably will have to see some weakness in equities before that happens. So in the meantime, I think rates are going to continue to hover here a little bit.
And any thoughts on where crude is going?
Down. I also have been writing that, and I'm covering it in the current letter in detail, but I also have been writing that that crude oil, this bounce, has been part of that reinflationary effort. We needed the inflation, and the best way to generate the inflation is oil prices. Now, the one thing that makes me nervous, and this isn't doublespeak, it just is, but crude oil started signaling. In fact, I have a crude oil chart up in front of me. Crude oil, it started signaling the top right from the top back in March, but it just kind of flatlined, and you know, obviously it's been coming down. Finally, it took hold on the news. But crude oil has been jerked around by the news. And you mean anybody with any kind of awareness at all has seen that, just so has the market. Oh, we got a deal, and crude oil goes down. Oh, we don't have a deal, and crude oil goes up. And it's just been back and forth like a yo-yo. And so I don't know. The one wild card with crude oil, and I think it would be a failure if they play this, but the one wild card is if all of a sudden – you know, they say, oh, well, now we got to bomb them to oblivion again because X, Y, and Z. You know, that could, you know, stimulate a rally of some sort. But I think it would be a failure. And overall, I think crude oil is probably done.
Tim, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on?
Nope. let me just close with, I'm not to say with crude oil, you know, of course there's going to be some counter trend bounces. In fact, we probably are at a point where we could see some sort of counter trend bounce. But I think higher degree, I think it's probably, short of some manipulative news, I think it's probably done. As far as anything else, I mean, I think I covered it. I just, people don't realize what we're dealing with. You know, they think that they've been trained. They don't understand, oh, well, the market always comes back and always comes back. And it has for the last, you know, ever since the COVID top, dot-com top. You know, they've been trained well that, you know, buy the dip, it'll come back, Fed, don't fight the Fed, et cetera. And that's been 100% right, not denying any of that. But that's what's fueled us into this position that we're in. And I think we're maybe getting to the point where, as they say, this, where the chickens come home to roost. At least, at bare minimum, when the boxes are checked and I see what I need to see, we're going to be at risk. Let me say it this way. Let me close with saying this. We're going to be at great risk of the chickens coming home to roost at that point. It's going to be a matter then of how well they can manage it. But it's going to be serious.
So, Tim, you've got some important information you want to get out to the folks. How can they get it?
Jim, I know some of this stuff I'm saying may sound crazy. Because, you know, you can see what you see. You know, I mean, that's all of us. I'm not being critical of anyone. We see what we see, and we don't know what we don't know. And I don't claim to know everything. But some of this stuff, as crazy as it may sound, I'm covering it all in the research letters. And I call it a research letter because that's what it is. It's a research letter, and it's backed up by solid analysis. So anyone's interested in looking at this material, it is available in those letters, and of course that is by subscription only, but it is available.
Tim, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. If you have any questions for Tim or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.